I am calling the banquet of the 2010 Fall Convention of the California Council of Wine to order. And we are going to enjoy ourselves and have a very fun evening. Okay. Let me now introduce to you, for our invocation, Pastor Eric Miller with the True Vine Missionary Baptist Church. Mr. Miller is also a Rotarian, president of Rotary International. So, hey, let's have some order out there. Pastor Miller.
I'll make one of you.
Shh, quiet, please.
Reading from Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's, in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. As we bow, Lord God, we thank you now for all that you have done and all that you're yet doing in our lives. We've come and gathered, Lord God, about the business, about our health and strength that all comes from you. We ask now your blessings upon the food, upon this gathering, and upon these your people. Pray now that you would bless according to your will and way. For it is indeed in your name that we come and ask it all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Miller. All righty now, it is time to introduce you to our mistress of ceremonies for the evening. Now, I usually tell a joke. Well, no, I usually have a true fact about the master or mistress of ceremonies. But in Lee's case, truth is stranger than fiction. So, I'm just going to introduce her. A past president of the San Diego chapter, the director of the Blind Community Center, past president of Guide Dogs of California. She has so many hats. If it were shoes, she'd be an Imelda Marcos.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me introduce to you our MC for this evening, Lee Morton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I sometimes feel like Imelda Marcos, lots of hats, and I sometimes like feel like if it's day, it's got to be Belgium type thing. So it's Saturday, so I guess that means I'm supposed to be here at the what is it? Oh yeah, the CCV banquet. Okay, I think we've got it now. I believe our first order of business is, before you start eating, really, I'm going to introduce the head table, and we will be going from left to right. And I will be honest, if I know those of you who have ROP, if you're directionally challenged like I am, well, just fake it, okay? And just enjoy. Our first people on the left are Bernice Kandarian and Roger Pearson. They are both members of our awards committee.
Yay!
Yay! And you will be hearing from them a bit later. And next on the agenda, the person that I have next on here is Lee Morton. Gee, who is she? Jeff already introduced me, so I'm not going to go through all that again. Next, right here, is Mitch Pomerantz, who is ACB president. And he's done a wonderful job. I think he has really brought a lot of grassroots or things to the ACB. I love his monthly radio program he does on ACB Radio. And he has gotten some good legislation through, especially the 21st century telecommunications bill. I think, let's give them a round of applause for that particular bill. Mitch does have one thing going, though. You got to feel sorry for him, though. He's an SC fan.
Why do you feel sorry for him?
And it's kind of a tough one this year because if SC wins, it doesn't matter. They can't go to a bowl game anyway. If they lose, it's a bummer. So he's kind of in a rotten position. Talk about a definition of fiddler on the roof. There's one. But he's going to have an interesting wife because his wife here, Donna, she is going to be our incoming president. So I'm sure, luckily CCB and ACB are in agreement. I don't know what will happen if there's a conflict. It'll be most interesting.
Donna.
But, I'll win.
So, okay, we have to learn about, yes, dear, and don't, okay. And now I do have my speakers here. We're going to have a Lions War, or we're going to have a Service Club War here because our pastor that did our invocation is from Rotary. And my speakers tonight are District Governor Scotty Schutz and his wife Jeannie.
She's going to get there in some sort of order. All right. Yay!
Yeah, and then now I'm going to Jeff Thompson. See, we had two lists, and I think I got messed up. And then, I'm sorry, folks, and then right next to Donna is Jeff Tom, and he is our current president, and his daughter, Michelle, is joining us tonight. And we have Gene Lozano, first vice president. He is here. And Jacqueline Jackson, who is the current president, San Diego Braille Club, is also here. And Pastor Miller, whom you heard earlier, the gentleman from Rotary and from the True Vine Missionary Baptist Church, and his lovely wife Beverly are here. Yay! And I believe that is all the best at this table. Before I turn it over about donations, I do want to acknowledge, and I believe he happens to be another Lion, Ken Metz, who is streaming the broadcast of this banquet over ACB Radio. So I want to say good afternoon, good evening, whatever, all you people out there in ACB Radio land. Yay! Before I turn it over to Ed Branch to talk about chapter donations, I do want to mention, since I've got it right here, the San Diego chapter has given $50 for the scholarship fund, $50 for the general fund, and $50 for the crisis fund. So I have them right here.
Lily?
And I will let Ed Branch tell you about other donations that have come in from other chapters.
You want to announce your chapter's donation,
please? Is that 100 for the scholarship?
So, what do you
want? Good evening. This is Steve Fort from Bayview Chapter. Bayview Chapter has donated $100 to the scholarship fund.
All right.
Yay!
Yeah.
This is Mike Keithley from the Silicon Valley Council. We have donated $200 to the scholarship fund. From the Lily Perry Memorial Foundation, $5,000 to the scholarship fund.
Whoa! Yay! That was good if you get to school.
Did you know that? I did.
What? Oh, God, you should know it.
Yeah.
From the Greater San Joaquin Valley Chapter, we've brought $50 for the general fund and $50 for the scholarship fund.
All right.
Yay!
I'll take it.
Are there any other chapter donations or affiliate donations?
Okay. And this is called our version of musical chairs, because our next activity is going to be the scholarship winners. So I'm going to turn it back over to Jeff.
Okay, yes, it's one of those... those musical chairs, you're right. We are not going to present our scholarship winners in the fall for a couple of reasons. We are doing something, however, I'll get to it in just a minute. We do not have any of them here, and many of them, for one thing, and many of them are going to attend in the spring. That's their intent. So we felt that we would change things up a little bit and present them, you know, live when they're going to be here. However, we do want to acknowledge, and I will read the scholarship winners from the Active Blind Incorporated has given us, and they have been, excuse me, get my cheat sheet here. They have been giving us for the past several years an average of about $10,000 a year to give for various scholarships for some real high achievers. And I'm going to let John Mavis, are you going to talk on behalf of Active Blind this evening to tell everyone what it's about?
My name is John Mavis. I'm here with three other members of Active Blind Incorporated. John Donolano, the director, asked me to come and present, have Mr. Tucker, Franklin Tucker. Also, I have Linda Keeney and Shirley Tucker with me to represent the four of us, the big club. So I will this time pass the speaker, the microphone to Mr. Tucker, and he will do his thing as John kind of wanted to ask.
Thank you. Okay. Good morning. I mean, good evening. I gotta find what time of day it is. I'm Franklin Tucker, and John asked me to say a little bit about Active Blind, which was started by his uncle, Tony Menino, which some of you may or may not know. And Tony died, of course, in 1976. And his nephew, John Catalano, the son of his sister Mary, has taken over the administration of the funds which were part of the Active Blind organization from that time. It has always been interested in providing money for scholarships for the blind, for those high achievers, and has worked diligently with the California Council for the Blind to provide scholarships for those students in California for their education. John has worked very closely with Tom, and they have communicated with each other quite frequently. John and the board of directors, which is Jim Catalano and his Nicholas Gilmore, make the decisions as to which students they will give scholarships to after names have been submitted to them by the California Council for Blind. One of the other activities John wanted me to emphasize is that we will also provide funds for small individual projects that you might come up with. And I would suggest that you talk with Jeff or
yes.
And see if he would give it some credence. And then get in touch with John before submitting a written application for a grant from the Active Blind Corporation.
Something we don't think of.
They will provide, John says, up to $1,000 for a particular project that you might want to involve the California, Active Blind with. So I know that many of you have excellent, fertile minds which may come up with projects which might be interesting to you and might be helpful to your neighbors. So think about it and talk it over with your friends, talk with Jeff, run it by him, give it some thought, and then get in touch with John Catalano. Jeff can tell you how to do that and see if we can't work out something that can help you with a particular project or a particular interest that you might have. So we're here for you. The organization has some funds and they want to make a contribution to the betterment of the blind of California. So in your own interest and in the interest of doing something for someone else, try to work with John on that, okay? Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate it and we look forward to being with you again.
Thank you very much. Sorry. Thank you, Frank, and thank you, John. The Active Blind is a great, great organization. And that was very interesting as well.
Oh, good boy. You didn't react.
But for a different reason.
God, I don't know what that was.
Yes. Well,
ma'am?
Yes.
Going right along, definitely, though, keep Active Blind in mind and let us know if you have any thoughts on projects you'd like to see funded. I'm going to read, as I said, I'm going to read just very briefly the Active Blind winners, scholarship winners. The first one is Chelsea Kostick. She is a lower division student at Feather River College, and she is majoring in office management. Benjamin Peters, who has already been a scholarship winner for 2 years, is going to College of the Rest, and he up in Crescent City. He is majoring in psychology, and he ultimately wants to be a teacher of the visually impaired. Tamar Solomon is a graduate student, and he is going to Cal State East Bay with a major in speech-language pathology. Elizabeth Kelly is going to Palo Alto University, and her major, as I turn the page, she's in a doctoral program in clinical psychology. Sky, and I always have a problem with this last name, Nzoo, I believe, but it's hard. I can't pronounce it right. Debbie Flowers, could we tell me if she were in the room? He is with the Greater San Joaquin chapter in Fresno, and he is in the master's program in rehabilitation counseling. Sherry Gabrielson, who most of you know, the Bayview chapter president, she is attending San Francisco State, and is getting her master's in visual impairment with the teaching credential. So I just want to again give a round of applause for Active Blind and for the wonderful scholarship winners.
Yeah.
Okay, and at this point, we're now going to move on to awards, and to begin the process of awards, we have a presentation that our membership chair is going to make. So if we could get Artis Bazin together with Linda Samolsky at a mic, we're going to have Artis make that presentation, and then we'll immediately turn it over to Roger and Nice for the awards.
Hello, everyone.
Yep.
I'm very happy to tell you this. I was so happy when Linda Samolsky from the Palm Springs area talked to me about starting a chapter in their area. And I was so glad that she was able to put it together. She's been working on it since January, and she's done a wonderful job of getting together the number of members that she needed to do to get a chapter started. And so I want to really congratulate the Coachella Valley chapter, and they are going to get their charter tonight. And I'll let someone else read the plaque because I don't think it's in Braille.
Okay.
California Council of the Blind Charter of Affiliation. Fraternal greetings. The California Council of the Blind herewith issues this charter of association and certificate of membership to Coachella Valley chapter and makes it known that said chapter is a duly constituted affiliate of the California Council of the Blind in the state of California, having assumed that relationship October 28, 2010 by properly authorized action of the California Council of the Blind. In verification whereof, I have this day affixed the seal of the organization, signed Jeff Tom, President, Gabe Griffith, Secretary.
Hi, everyone. I'm so proud of our chapter, and I wish that they could be here to enjoy this moment. One of the advocacy things that we need to work on is getting transportation from the Coachella Valley, maybe to Riverside. So that valley is hungry and needy, and so this is a really proud moment for me. Thank you so much.
Yes, this is meaningful for me because I knew Linda Samolsky when she lived in San Diego before she went to work at Guide Dogs of the Desert. She had been our chapter president at the San Diego chapter at one time. So congratulations, Linda. Okay, now I turn it over to our awards chair, Bernice Kandarian and Roger Peterson.
The Publications Committee, as you know, has transitioned from Mike Keithley as editor to Judy Wilkinson. And for his service to the Publications Committee and the California Council of the Blind, we'd like to issue a certificate of thanks to Mike Keithley, and we'll have it read right now.
Flores.
Hello, this is Roger, and through an advanced technological advance here, I can read this I can read this plaque. It says, the California Council of the Blind Certificate of Appreciation presented to Mike Keithley on behalf of the entire membership of the California Council of the Blind, the membership, the CCB Public Relations, the CCB Publications Committee wishes to express our appreciation and thanks to Mike Keithley for his dedicated service as editor of the Blind Californian 2006 to 2010. And it's signed by Jeff Tom and Bernice Kandarian as publication chair.
All right.
I want to thank everybody. It's a complete surprise.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I really like that. Thank you very much.
Yay! Hey, Mike.
I wanted to let you know that Mike's certificate has an overlay of Braille so he can read it.
Good. Now, this is an award that the awards committee decided to present, and we decided to delay presentation of it until the fall convention. Rarely we present our awards at the spring convention. This is, I guess, the most prestigious award that we present, and although we've thought of renaming it the Has-Been Award, but we decided not to do that.
No.
Through an advance in modern technology, I'm going to be able to read this award hopefully in a less lousy way than I did the last one. I will just tell you, just to keep the suspense a little bit, that I will read this. I will skip two lines and read it this way. California Council of the Blind Distinguished Service Award to this person, who for decades has been a role model in the blind community, combining more than 30 years of employment with the state of California, bringing recognition as Public Lawyer of the Year from the California Bar Association, while serving in leadership positions in blindness organizations, including presidency of the California Council of the Blind from 2003 to 2010. And of course, you know that's Jeff Tom, and it says, presented this 30th day of October 2010 in the city of La Jolla, California. Kathy was very disappointed that she was not going to be able to be here to present this award, and she specifically asked me to do it as a member of the committee. Thank you very much.
Wow, I'm speechless, actually. And that's probably just as well, but I really thank you. It's just been such an honor to have worked for all of you and done the little bit that I've tried to do, and I don't know whether I deserve it, but I sure appreciate getting this. This is wonderful. Thank you all very, very much. And I really wish Kathy was here as well. Thank you.
Well, Jeff, Guess what? You've only just begun. And for phase two, I'm going to turn it over to our first vice president, Gene Lozano.
Yay!
Jeff, I hope you still have some space in your stomach. The organization and the board of directors, CCB, wishes to thank you for the 8 years you've given to us. And it has been a rewarding experience to serve as your first vice president in the various capacities that you entrusted me with, the responsibilities of. And as a gesture, we are giving you a 10-inch by 10-inch three-layer lemon cake that says, "Thank you, Jeff." Red writing on a white surface. And so we, you know, you hear give cake to masses. Well, we're giving it to you. thank you very much, Jeff, for everything.
I'm holding this plate in my hand. Oh my gosh.
Hopefully you're hungry. Shelly thought I was hungry still.
I guess.
Yeah, I thought Gene was really hungry.
Had my own sheet cake.
Somebody cut this up or something.
No, you're gonna keep holding it like that.
I was going. Well, I've known Jeff for several years. We've been on a lot of committees together, and I'm glad that I could have been a part of this moment. Now, I guess we go on to our keynote speaker. And I've known this gentleman for several years, since we're kind of having a service club war tonight. He is in Lions, as I am, in the North Park Lions Club. I would say they are one of the more supportive clubs for blind and visually impaired in San Diego. They support several of the services. They also do support the radio reading service here. They also help with a picnic that's put on for the visually impaired children in San Diego County. They give $100 to it, and they also come and prepare the hot dogs for the occasion. So I am going to introduce my friend Scotty Schutz, who is a past district governor here in San Diego of Lions 4L6, which includes San Diego and Imperial County. And he is also talk about another version of Fiddler on the Roof. He's been in the mortgage business and now gone to real estate. So,
I'm sorry.
Yes. Anyway. Now, my sister's a real estate appraiser, so I can make these bad jokes.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate that introduction. In fact, that's the second best introduction that I've had this year. The best introduction was the last time I had the opportunity to be a speaker and the MC didn't show up and I was able to introduce myself. Pleasure to be here with you tonight. I am very impressed with your organization. I went to your website and read the membership handbook, and to see what you do, I am extremely encouraged. I'm very proud of you. I'm very humbled to be able to spend this time with you. I look forward to not only tonight, but being involved in the future with you. I'd like to begin our time together by sharing a few fun historic facts. These, I believe, are all true, but I recognize most of them and how they have all played a role in our lives in one way or another. In George Washington's day, there were no cameras. One's image was either sculpted or painted. Some paintings of George Washington showed him standing behind a desk with one arm behind his back, while others showed both legs and both arms. Prices charged by painters were not based on how many people were to be painted, but by how many limbs were to be painted. Arms and legs are limbs, and therefore paintings would cost the buyer more. Hence, if you did not want to pay full price, you deduct something, and it became the rise of the expression, okay, I'll do it that way, but it'll cost you an arm and a leg. As incredible as it sounds, at that time, men and women only took baths twice a year, usually in May and October. Women kept their hair covered, while men shaved their heads because of lice and bugs, presumably, and wore wigs. Wealthy men could afford good wigs that were made from wool. They couldn't wash the wigs, so to clean them, they would carve out a loaf of bread, put the wig in the shell, and bake it for 30 minutes. The heat would make the wig big and fluffy, hence the term big wig. Today, we often use the term, here comes the big wig, because someone appears to be or is powerful and wealthy. Personal hygiene also left much room for improvement. As a result, many women and men had developed acne scars by adulthood. The women would spread beeswax over their facial skin to smooth out their complexions. When they were speaking to each other, if a woman began to stare at another woman's face, she was told, "Mind your own beeswax." Should the woman smile, the wax would crack, hence the term, crack a smile. In addition, when they sat too close to the fire, the wax would melt, and therefore the phrase, losing face, came into being. Ladies wore corsets, which would lace up in the front. A proper and dignified woman, as in straight-laced, wore a tightly tied lace. Early politicians required feedback from the public to determine what the people considered important. Since there were no telephones, TVs, or radios, the politicians sent their assistants to local taverns, pubs, and bars. They were told to go sip some ale and listen to people's conversations and political concerns. Many assistants were dispatched at different times. You go sip here, you go sip there. And so the two words, go sip, were eventually combined when referring to the local opinion, and thus we have the term
gossip.
At local taverns, pubs, and bars, people drank from pint and quart-sized containers. A barmaid's job was to keep an eye on the customers and keep the drinks coming. She had to pay close attention and remember who was drinking in pints and who was drinking in quarts, hence the term, minding your P's and Q's. Now that's a history for one night, don't you think? Tonight I'd like to share with you on the subject of how to become an effective leader. When thinking about the subject, what is leadership, I looked in one of the dictionaries and saw that the definition for leadership is the ability to lead. Don't let the simplicity fool you. I think it's very good. That led me to the verb to lead, and the definition, one of the definitions was, to lead is that you are one who knows where you are going, and you also know how to persuade others to go along with you. Both are necessary. We have to know where we're going. We have to know how to persuade others to come along. And in knowing where we are going, we have to have clear, consistent objectives, know where we want to spend our time and choose our priorities. And you've probably heard people speak to you in the past that you'll ask them, what is it that you really want? and they'll stutter and they'll stammer and they'll say, well, I want a lot of things. And that tells you they haven't clearly formed their goals. They don't know what it is that they want to do. Now, having read about you and seeing how you've been effective, some of the recent things that I saw were the talking ATMs, which I understand began in California and now are used throughout the country, and the accessible crosswalks for safety reasons. Also, the fact that the Department of Rehabilitation has a division that specifically is there to assist blind and visually impaired. I'm really pleased with what I see that you're doing, and it's pretty obvious to me that you know where you're going. Now, the inside of leadership is, how do we explain, how do we, yes, how do we, that's a leader dog, isn't it? The other side of leadership is being able to persuade others to come along with us, and sometimes we may have very clear-cut objectives, know exactly what we want to, but we're not able to persuade a cat to follow us. And it's that area that I'd like to suggest a few possibilities tonight. How is it we can persuade others to go along with us? The first suggestion I'd like to make is to become, in order to persuade others to go along with us as leaders, that we become a student of our culture, that we understand the shifts that occur in the things that we take for granted every day. A number of years ago, we had quite a different culture. When I was much younger, there were clear-cut ideas of what right and wrong were, and I grew up in a small town of about 300 people in the state of Nebraska, and I found that if I was a good child, I had a lot of friends. If I stepped across the line, all of a sudden I had 300 parents who were ready to tell me and show me, and sometimes they would even decide that it was important to apply the hand of knowledge to the seat of learning and would... And it was commonly accepted that as a community, we worked together to help to raise all of the children in the community. And we had laws that support good behavior, and we were proud to follow them. The field of politics wasn't so nasty. It appears that there was a lot more cooperation. It wasn't all a wonderful time, though, because employers weren't so kind. The common thought was that if your employer said jump, you would be expected to jump and ask how high on the way up.
Wow. Yeah.
And today, at least not, but before the last 3 years, if the employer came to one of us and we were working for them and they said, I want you to do this or so help me, I'll fire you, the common response would be, so fire me, I'll help you. But with the change in the difficulty to find jobs, I believe we've had a shift in the last 3 years in that area. We've also had major shifts from where we were to high tech. So many things that we can see being done now are done because of a tremendous change in technology. Now, all of that is to say that we've had numerous shifts, and in a lot of ways things are better, in some ways things are worse, but it's important if we're going to lead effectively that we understand where our culture is and the things that we need to do. In the Lions Club that Lee and I are members of, and also my wife Jeannie, we have had men and women members in the club for approximately 25 years. Used to be all the service clubs were either all men or all women, and now they're mixed. At the time when we as a club had a membership application from the first woman that wanted to be a part of our club, the club was very excited that we would have women come into the club, and it was a very forward-thinking club, with the exception of one member. And he got up in the meeting as we were voting on the application of the woman that wanted to join our group. And he said, I want you to know I've been here every year, every week for 20 years. I've been president of this club. And the day that we vote in a woman member will be the last day that I come. And without hesitation, every other member of the board said, well, Frank, we've sure enjoyed being around you. And and we don't know how we're going to get along without you, but starting next week, we're going to find out. That was 25 years ago, and that was the last time I saw him. No, not that we felt that we needed to be unkind to him or that we needed to make very strong statements. We felt that time was right for the change. We wanted to be among the leaders of those who were affecting the change. Today, our club has approximately 40% of the membership as women. The club is more than 80 years old, and we're stronger today than we have been in many, many years. In fact, both my wife, Jeannie, and we are past presidents of the club. And I got to tell you, the club ran a lot better when each of them was president than when I was. But the first thing, the first part of persuading others to go along is to understand the shifts in our culture and to be able to apply those in terms of accomplishing our goals. Number two, attitude is everything. Some people love to tinker. One of those was a young man by the name of Thomas Edison. He felt that he could invent a light bulb if he could just figure out how to make it burn longer than a few seconds before it burned up, so to speak. He tested again and again and again. And after 10,000 tests, he had never once been able to build a light bulb that would work. His wife by this time was sick and tired of all the mess in the kitchen at their home. And she said to him, Thomas, when are you going to do something worthwhile? You have been a failure 10,000 times and you've not been able to come up with a light bulb. And he says, oh, no, that's not the way it is. He says, I now know 10,000 ways that it won't work. And shortly after that, he found how to make it work. But his attitude was one of expectancy. He wanted to see how do we do this? I expect it to work. And he accomplished his task. A number of years ago, I'm told, or perhaps this one isn't true, the rest have been, but an optimist and a pessimist were in jail together. And the pessimist was there very, very unhappy. And he said, oh, I'm so unhappy. I'm going to be here for 10 days. And the optimist sitting next to him was happy and smiling. And he says, oh, well, I want you to know I'm only going to be here 9. And the pessimist said, why is that the case? And he said, because they're hanging me on the 10th day. A number of years ago, a master teacher in the New York City public schools retired. After she retired, she was a very good teacher. She found that she didn't have enough to do, and the principal at her school had a class of students that just couldn't be motivated. And the problem was that they were 1 to 2 years behind. Most appeared they weren't going to graduate. He feared that they would not be effective in the chosen fields they'd want to go into in life. And so he called her up and he said, would you consider coming back? I've got a group of students that's failing. If you won't help me, I don't know what we're going to do, but would you consider coming back for 1 year? And she thought about it for a few moments and said, well, what can you tell me about them? And he says, well, here's their names. And he handed her a list of names, and it says Johnny, 162, Susie, 158, Sam, 159, and so on and so forth. Everyone's had a name and a number between 140 and 165. And all of a sudden, she realized something that none of the other teachers had realized, and that these were highly intelligent students, and no one had found the key to unlocking their motivation. And so she agreed to teach. She came in. The first day when the students came to her class, she said to them, she says, I know that most of you are behind. If something doesn't change, you are not going to graduate. She said, but I know what you're capable of. And so from now on, I expect nothing less than what you are capable of doing, and I expect your very best effort, and we're starting right now. And so they had a wonderful year together. At the end of the year, all of the students were at or above grade level. Some who had been failing graduated with honors. And it was so unusual that they had an awards banquet just for her and awarded her for having done such a wonderful job teaching. And she was rather embarrassed, shut up, and she said, well, it's not that I did such a great job in teaching. It's really our principal. He had the foresight to tell me what their IQs were. I knew what I was dealing with, and that these were students that could succeed because they were highly intelligent. And with that, she sat down. Then the principal, who was quite embarrassed himself, got up and said, I need to say that I didn't give her their IQs. We're not allowed to give out IQs. I didn't want to mislead her. He said, those were not her IQs that I gave her. Those were not theirs. Instead, they were their locker numbers. Because her attitude was they can succeed, they raised their performance to successful levels. Now, I'm not talking about Pollyanna expectations where nothing ever goes wrong, but I want to challenge you to expect to succeed. Be realistic about the journey. It's a long, slow journey, but every one of you here tonight can succeed if you will accept that you can and develop the right attitude accordingly. Third, let people know that you care. Encourage them. Research has shown that if you encourage someone, it takes 10 sessions of encouragement to offset one criticism. So if you want to say something negative to teach people how to do things differently and you want to make sure they get it, all you have to do is encourage them 11 times and then you're allowed one criticism. Be an encourager. It makes a huge difference. I'd like to share with you very brief stories at this point. First of all, many years ago, Al Capone virtually owned Chicago. Capone wasn't famous for anything heroic. He was notorious for enmeshing the Windy City in everything from bootlegged booze and prostitution to murder. He had a lawyer nicknamed Easy Eddie. He was Capone's lawyer for a good reason. Eddie was very good. In fact, Eddie's legal maneuvering kept Big Al out of jail for a long time. To show his appreciation, Capone paid him very well. Not only was the money big, but also Eddie got small dividends. For instance, he and his family occupied a fenced-in mansion with live-in help and all of the conveniences of the day. The estate was so large that it filled an entire Chicago city block. Eddie lived the high life of the Chicago mob and gave little consideration to the atrocities that went on around him. Eddie did have one soft spot, however. He had a son that he loved dearly. Eddie saw to it that his young son had the best of everything, clothes, good education. Nothing was withheld. Price was no object, and despite his involvement with organized crime, Eddie even tried to teach him right from wrong. Eddie wanted his son to be a better man than he was, yet with all of his wealth and influence, there were two things he could not give his son. He couldn't pass on a good name, and he couldn't set a good example. One day, Easy Eddie reached a difficult decision. Easy Eddie wanted to rectify the wrongs he had done. He decided he would go to the authorities and tell the truth about Al Scarface Capone. He would clean up tarnished name and would offer his son some semblance of integrity. To do this, he would have to testify against the mob, and he knew that the cost would be great. So he testified, and within the year, Easy Eddie's life ended in a blaze of gunfire on a lonely Chicago street, but in his eyes, he had given his son the greatest gift he had to offer at the greatest price he would ever pay. and this is a true story.
Yeah, it is.
Number two, World War II produced many heroes. One such man was Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare. He was a fighter pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier Lexington in the South Pacific. One day, his entire squadron went on a mission. After he was airborne, he looked at his fuel gauge and realized that someone had forgotten to top off his fuel tank. He would not have enough fuel to complete his mission and get back to his ship. His flight leader told him to return to the carrier. Reluctantly, he dropped out of formation and headed back to the fleet. As he was returning to the mothership, he saw something that turned his blood cold. A squadron of Japanese aircraft were speeding their way toward the American fleet. The American fighters were gone on a sortie, and the fleet was all but defenseless. He couldn't reach his squadron and bring them back in time to save the fleet, nor could he warn the fleet of the approaching danger. There was only one thing to do. He must somehow divert them from the fleet. Laying aside all thoughts of personal safety, he dove into the formation of the Japanese planes. Wing-mounted 50 calibers blazed as he charged in, attacking one surprised enemy plane and then another. Butch wove in and out of the now broken formation and fired at as many planes as possible until all of his ammunition was finally spent. Undaunted, he continued the assault. He dove at the plane, trying to clip a wing or a tail in hopes of damaging as many enemy planes as possible and rendering them unfit to fly. Finally, the exasperated Japanese squadron took off in another direction. Deeply relieved, Butch O'Hare and his tattered fighter limped back to the carrier. Upon arrival, he reported in and related the events surrounding his return, and the film from the gun camera showed that he had been very daring and had actually destroyed 5 enemy aircraft. This took place on February 20th of 1942, and for that action, Butch became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, Butch was killed in aerial combat at the age of 29. His hometown would not allow the memory of this World War II hero to fade, and today, O'Hare Airport in Chicago is named in tribute to the courage of this great man. His memory is, the memorial for him is displayed as a statue with his Medal of Honor, and it's located between Terminals 1 and 2 of O'Hare Airport to this day. So what do these two stories have to do with each other? Butch O'Hare was Easy Eddie's son. Let people know that you care. Empathy. Empathy is the ability to put yourself in another person's place and understand at least enough of what they're going through that you can communicate with them. How many of you have heard of Zig Ziglar, the motivational speaker and former salesman? He, years ago, sold cookware. Anybody here ever buy cookware from a door-to-door salesman?
Yeah.
Well, it might have been Zig Ziglar. Who knows? And Zig went into a house of one of his friends, tried to sell the husband and wife a new set of cookware. The wife looked at him and said, I want to know that my husband has promised that he'll have a new indoor bathroom for my house, and I won't have to go out in the cold winter nights anymore to go to the Biffy. We'll actually have indoor plumbing. And in fact, it's finished right now. It's wonderful of what he's done. But I want you to know, until he's completed that project, I will not even consider buying anything else, because indoor plumbing is more important to me than new cookware. And Butch thought about, or I mean, I'm sorry, Zig thought about it for a few minutes, according to one of his books, and said that, yes, that's right, I understand the importance, and later we'll talk about cookware, but I can see you have much more important things on your mind. And then he packed up his kit and left. The next day, he went downtown and saw the wife come walking down the street, and she came up to him, and she said, I am so angry with you. You didn't sell me a set of cookware. And he said, well, I thought you made it clear that you wouldn't do anything until you had your indoor bathroom. And she said, well, I did say that, but I also told you it was already finished. You didn't understand that it's done, and I was ready to buy the cookware, but now I'm buying from your competitor. What he misunderstood was the difference between sympathy. He felt so sorry for her plight that he didn't understand her situation. All she wanted to do was to see that her husband got credit for doing the most important thing first. He missed that because he sympathized, he didn't empathize. Understand, see where they are, but don't sympathize. Empathy is helpful, sympathy is not. And last but not least, as a leader, learn to be a person of reverence. God is the creator, delegator, and redeemer of the world. Freedom of religion through the Judeo-Christian tradition that founded this country enables us to have the freedom to worship. God is not hard to find to the ones who seek him. Along this line, there was a young woman who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness and had been given 3 months to live. As she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and had him come to her house to discuss certain aspects that she wanted him to know about her wishes for her final service. She told him which song she wanted sung, what scripture she liked read, and what outfit she wanted to be buried in. Everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave when the young woman suddenly said, oh, there's one more thing, she said very excitedly. What's that? This is very important. I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand. The pastor stood looking at the young woman, not knowing quite what to say, and she said to him, that surprises you, doesn't it? And he says, well, to be honest, I'm puzzled by the request. She explained, my grandmother once told me this story, and from there on out, I have always done so. I have also always tried to pass along its message to those I love and those who are in need of encouragement. In all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, I always remember that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say, keep your fork. It was my favorite part because I knew that something better was coming. And so he followed her wishes, and when she died a few weeks later, at her service, she had a fork in her right hand, and people asked over and over, talked to each other, and said, why is that for her hand? And he relayed this story during the service, and I want to encourage you to look to the future, keep your fork, because the best is yet to come. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. And sometimes that is true, and especially when there is a tragedy or a very serious situation, sometimes the darkness hits just before the dawn. So thank you very much. And I guess now we go on to sweepstakes and raffles. Oh, okay. Because Lily has stepped out of the room, I think I'm going to call the raffles now. I know we've got two of them that I know about, our San Diego chapter and Guide Dog Users of California. I don't know if, I'm sure there are others, but those are the two I know about.
Hi, this is Mary Beth Randall from Guide Dog Users of California, and this is our 50-50 drawing, and for the winner, you're going to get $5.
Yay!
So.
And the drawing was Margaret Garcia.
Yay! Yay, Margaret!
Darn, I didn't win that.
Okay, Margaret's buying drinks for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's my investment? How's USC?
And anyone else wishing to have a raffle? Raise your hand and Ed Branch will bring the microphone to you.
Oh, over here.
Okay, well, they're selling. Lily has just come in for sweepstakes, so we'll give you guys a little bit of a reprieve for selling more tickets.
Go ahead and announce what it's.
All right. We are going to draw the third prize first. That is a night stay at a Harvey's Hotel in South Lake Tahoe. Ooh. And there is a free entertainment pass while you are enjoying your stay. So we're going to have Jeff draw it for us. Before I read which ticket he pulls, I'd like you all to know that we sold 3,904 tickets.
Wow.
And the best part is it only takes one to win. But the winner is someone who definitely bought more than one.
Yes.
It's Miss Elizabeth Deef. Anyone know her? I'm assuming she's not here. All right, we'll give her a call and let her know she won. All right, the second one here, ticket, will be for a two-night stay at the Crown Plaza SFO, which, if you recall, is where we were at about 6 months ago for convention.
Yes.
So, good luck to everybody. Jeff's going to draw.
All right. Well, there are a lot of tickets in here. Oh, that one says Jeff Tom on it right there. Yeah.
And the winner of this one is a Mr. Mike Keithley.
All right. The reason I drew your name, Mike, is because I know your wife wants to get rid of you occasionally, and she can just drive you up the road and say, bye-bye, Mike.
All right, and the grand prize. What was that again? Anybody remember? $500. All right.
We're going to dig down and shake them up.
Okay, shake it up.
$100.
Okay, here we go.
And the winner... someone from San Diego chapter.
Oh my God.
They live in Spring Valley. Her name, Miss Ellen Flower? Flowey. Flowey. F-L-O-W. Flore. F-L-O-U-R-I-E. Flory.
Oh my gosh.
Ellen. And she is not here, so we will call her and give her the great news.
Oh, I'll be done.
Thank you to everybody who purchased your sweepstakes ticket. This is great.
This is money that's been sold in a long time.
Well, congratulations. Okay, I'll be darned.
Seems like it to me.
Okay, San Diego chapter, are you ready?
Yeah.
Ready for yours? Okay. And just draw, just make it real simple and draw mine.
The last three digits are 294. It's 701-294.
Don't they have a name on it?
Okay, I'm told you have to be present to win. Number 294.
Doesn't look good for me.
Oh.
I'm
not good at all.
Yeah, they're real fast. Unless they were real wrongly.
I'm like hundreds and hundreds of
users. Close, but no success.
Yeah.
San Diego. Real low. I had 7, 7, 6, 7, 7. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Pretty good numbers, but nothing close to the winning
Oh, wait a minute. The president of the chapter wins her own raffle? I don't know.
Pretty good.
Maybe it's good that the convention's not here next year.
I want to donate half of my winnings to the state chapter.
Who is that?
Oh, Brian.
Glenda.
You don't have to do that.
Well, thank you, Glenda. Okay.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was very nice.
$37.50, so the state's going to get whatever half of that is, and it's too late in the evening for me to figure that out. I'll need at least one glass of wine to get to that point. But anyway. Well, I guess we are finished with raffles. I believe that is the last raffle. And we are going on into the auction. This should always be a lot of fun. We always usually do this in the fall. So I guess the banquet part of the evening, I guess, with speakers and everything is done. But this auction is always a lot of fun. So please enjoy. I know we have some nice donations here. And I will turn it over to
Wallace,
Jeff and Ed, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you. Are you ready? All right. Why doesn't everybody stand up for, a count of 10 and just get your limbs stretched out a little bit? And you've been sitting for a long time, you know? Take a deep breath, deep sigh, heavy metal, whatever you want to call it. All right. Good enough. Okay. Ready to rock here. Lily McRae and I are going to be conducting this here auction. She's going to be explaining the booty that we have here tonight.
We can stop now.
So here we go with our first item.
That might be the phone.
Oh, I'm reading. This one has Braille.
Oh, okay. I have to read this. Okay, this is a macrame. It's hard reading with one. Plant hanger. And it's from our newest affiliate, the Coachella Valley chapter. Apparently it's made by a Jerry Damon. So, or maybe it's, yeah, okay. All right, this is a very lovely item. And we are going to start the bidding for this plant hanger at $10. So, do we hear $10? Do we hear $10? Come on, $10. Do we hear $10? For a lovely, lovely macrame, handmade plant hanger, $10. Do we hear $10? We want to hit a little more detail on this plant hanger here. And Lily is going to provide it to me.
What indeed detail?
Lily says it is hemp. I'm not sure that I should say that. That's kind of illegal in some locations. But it may be legal after today, so I don't know. So that $10 item could be worth hundreds.
Good, Jeff.
Do I hear $10? $10, anybody? Do I hear 10? Do I hear $5? Do I hear $5 for this lovely macro? I heard a 5. Do I hear 10? 5. Do I hear 10? I hear 10. $5 going once. Oh, boy, what a deal. This is a real low deal here. $5 going twice. guys. And so, $5 to the gentleman. Thank you very much. Oh boy, we have a handmade leather wallet by Avi Shuman. In fact, not only did he make this wallet, he went out, got the horse, did the whole thing. Took him 81 years to get this wallet done, but it's now here and ready for your bids. So, and we have two of these, and what we're going to do is we're going to bid on one, and if somebody wants to match the high bidder, they can have one too. So, I'm going to hear of an opening bid of $15. Do I hear $15? $15.
Men's or women's?
I'm sorry?
Men or women's wallets?
This is a man's wallet, so ladies, buy it for your beau. $15, do I hear $15? $15, do I hear $15? I heard $20, do I hear $25? $20, do I hear $25? $20, do I hear $25? $20 going once. $25, do I hear $30? $25, do I hear $30? $25, do I hear $30? $25 going once. Ooh, boy, this has more than $25 worth of leather, not including the lovely hand detail work.
You said 21.
We already have 25. $25 going once. $25 going twice.
26.
I heard 26. $26, do I hear 30? $26, do I hear 30? $26, do I hear 30? $26 going once. I heard 27. $27, 30. $30 going once. $30, do I hear 35? $30, do I hear 35? $30 going once. $30 going twice.
32. Someone
32?
Said 32.
Did I hear 32?
Yes.
That's what we're told. Raise your hand if you say a bid so that we can identify who you might have been. $35, do I hear 40? $35, do I hear 40? $35, do I hear 40? $35 going once? $35 going twice? And sold for $35. Great. Now, is there anybody that wants to match that bid? Okay, sold again.
Yay.
For $35. These are lovely wallets. Lovely. Yes, indeed. With the wallet winners, please war hand.
Now there's two.
Yeah.
Ms. Pomerantz, would you like to auction this item so that I can bid on it?
Okay.
I don't think they'd want this.
Oh.
But I would.
Okay.
Was it a Stanford t-shirt?
No, it's even better.
What is it?
It's a World Series t-shirt and program.
Oh, you got that right.
Ah.
Here's the mic. He can auction this off. The only one that matters.
How about 1988? Oh, no, that's... We have here a prize, an item. It's not for Dodger fans.
Giants versus...
It's a 2010 World Series program.
And a t-shirt.
What's the t-shirt say?
Giants versus Rangers.
Giants versus Rangers.
Fall Classic. World Series. Wow, that's amazing.
Now, if only our fellow board member Michael Garrett were here, Jeff, you might have some competition. Let us. Oh, okay. Oh, it's a medium. It's a medium. And what color is it, Donna?
Black.
It's black. Giants colors are black and orange.
All the players' names are on the back of the shirt as well.
Players' names are on the back of the shirt.
I'll use it as a scarf.
Probably not Barry Zito's, because they left him off.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't want it. They didn't want a SoCal surfer boy. Let us start the bidding at $10. $10. Do we hear $10?
$10.
$10. $15. $20 for Mr. Barocco. $20. Do I hear $25?
$25.
$25. We have $30 from Jeff. We have $35.
$35.
$35. Do I hear $40? $36. We hear $36. Do we hear $40? $40 for Mr. Tom. $40. Going once.
Don't let him get it.
$40. Do I hear $45?
$45.
$45. Do I hear $50? $45. Do I hear $50? $50 from the lady. $50. Do I hear $55? $50. Do I hear $55? $50. Do I hear $55? $50 going. I'm sorry. $50. Do I hear $55? $50 going. $55. Jeff must owe somebody a favor. $55. Do I hear $60? $55. Do I hear $60? $60. Sounded like Linda. She lives in San Francisco. $60. Do I hear $65? 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 $60. Go. $65. We forgive Andy. He used to live in San Francisco. $65. Do we? $65 going on $70. $65 going on $70. Do we hear $70? $65 going once.
$70.
$70. Do I hear $75? $70. Do I hear $75? $70. $75.
There were two people that said $70.
$70. There were. I only heard one.
Jeff
heard
and Glenda said it at the exact same time.
All right, Glenda and Jeff are both. I heard Jeff first. He's closer. $70. Do I hear $71? One of you guys want to go up a dollar? $70. Do I hear $71? $75. Linda makes the auctioneer's job easier. $75. $75 going on $80. $75 going on $80.
More than it's worth.
$75 going once. $75 going twice. Sold for $75 to Linda Perel.
Sound like it was Linda.
Whoa.
I wasn't sure who got it.
Well, I don't know.
Linda Perel.
Wow.
Yay, Linda. Linda, we didn't want Jeff to have that, did we?
Guess not.
You'll look cute in it, Linda.
It fits her with me. Whoa.
The sisterhood.
Oh, this is Yosemite Gateway, but that's all it says, so you're going to have to tell me what. Oh, no, there's another rail car here. Well, I don't know if this is British or not, but it's tea and biscuits and cookies and chocolate. Starbucks coffee, that's not British, but it is very good. So, from the Yosemite Gateway chapter, you can have good for breakfast and for snack and comfort food. So, this is a huge bath, all sorts of good stuff in it. Let's start the bidding for all this at, let's start it at $20. $25, we have a bid, I heard in the back. We have a 30 over on my left. Do we have 30? Do we hear 35? 30? Do we hear 35? I heard 35. Do I hear 40? 35? Do I hear 40? 35? Do I hear 40? I hear 35 way over there. 35 going once. Oh, what's deal this is going to be?
Someone said 36.
I heard a 30. Who's the 36?
Patty Davis.
Okay. 36. Do I hear 40? 36. Do I hear 40? 36. Going once. Thought I heard something, but I didn't. 36 going twice.
It's chocolate, folks.
And 36.50. Well, well now. An important 50 cents. You never know what you get for 2 bits. 36.50. Do I hear 40? 36.50. Do I hear 40? 36.50. Do I hear 40?
40. Yes, indeed. 40, do I hear 45? 40, do I hear 45? 40, do I hear 45? Going once. 40 going twice.
There's chocolate in there.
And sold for $40. Thank you, sir, very, very much.
I don't know if there was.
Raise your hand. $40.
Not sure who got it.
Oh, man. This is an incredible piece of Americana. A handmade holster made by Avi Schumann holding a replica of an 1851, I'm going to take a look at this, Colt. This gun it was used a lot, especially in the early Civil War before the repeater rifles were started to be made. And wow, this is an incredible, incredible replica of a gun. Would look cool over someone's fireplace or in a trophy room or anywhere. I wouldn't put it in your backpack to carry home necessarily if you're flying with the TSA, but other than that,
don't walk the street.
We'll ship it to you. The we have a requested opening bid of $100, and we will have that. If we don't have it, we don't sell it. So, do I hear $100 for this cool item? Do I hear $100? Do I hear $100? No, it is not loaded. In fact, they don't even make the ammo for it anymore, I don't think. Sorry. I heard $100. Yay. We're going up by
$10 increments?
Okay, we're going up by $20 increments. 100, do I hear 120? 100, do I hear 120? 100, do I hear 120? $100. Going once. 120. This has a value of approximately, and this doesn't include the holster, very close to $300. So you can imagine somebody is getting a deal. 130. Do I hear 140? 130. Do I hear 140? What? It is a Colt. I don't know what the millimeter is, but it is a gun used in the Civil War. It's a Navy Colt, is actually what it is. Replica of a Navy Colt, of course. It's not really 160 years old or whatever.
It's blank, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I heard 130, I hear 140. 130, do I hear 140? 130, go once.
You're an initial.
100 what?
I usually fire blind Tuesdays.
Okay, I heard I heard 150, do I hear 170? 150, do I hear 170? 150, going once. 150, going twice. 170, all right. Do I hear 190? 170, do I hear 190? 170, do I hear 190? 170, going once. 170, going twice.
Beautiful.
Sold for $170. Yay. That is a great bargain of a very cool item.
Yeah.
That holster is a fine piece of work.
That's beautiful.
By the way.
That sucker's heavy.
It is. It is. Okay.
Cookie jar.
Now, this is a cookie jar that my wife donated from the San Francisco Music Box Company, which is a very fine store.
Oh, man.
It is a cat.
Oh.
A fat cat, and it plays from Beauty and the Beast, I think. Food, glorious food.
Oh. Oliver.
We'll try.
It's from some musical.
Oliver! Food!
That's something Jonathan Isaacs used to sing.
Mom.
Thought you can't afford it, but I never should be tempted.
I think he has to sit down. It's sort of turn.
Set it down a little bit.
Yeah, you have to set it.
It's just his head.
Set it down so it'll turn.
You can't set it down because it'll sit on that. Yeah.
Put the mic to it.
It is.
It's on a coil.
You broke it!
I guess Jeff bought it, but it's not working.
I think it has to be sitting down on
it's
the table.
You can't sit on it because it'll sit on the wind up. If you sit it down, you can put it down on top of the kitty.
Oh, yeah, that's what it needs to do.
It works.
It works.
Picking it up at all?
It works.
Not really.
It can't sit on the table.
You said played into the wire.
Yeah, but then if it couldn't sit on the table, why wouldn't it?
Well, it goes on the cat's body.
Oh, okay.
Where's his body?
Okay. All right, we got to get the thing out because the musical part goes on top of the cat's body, which is in the thing. We have a lovely flannel, full-size flannel blanket to cuddle up with. Someone you love, or someone you don't, whatever. From Coachella Valley.
Somebody you want.
So let's start the bidding at $15. This is somebody's going to get a real steal for that.
What color is it, folks?
Color.
Blue.
It is blue. Sky blue? Robin's egg blue?
Unless you have one of those special brains.
20.
Very blue. I heard a $20 bid. Did I hear a $20?
Yes, you did.
Okay, $20. Do I hear 25? $20. 25. Do I hear 30? 25. Do I hear 30? 25. Do I hear 30? 30. Do I hear 35? 30. Do I hear 35? 30. Do I hear 35? 30 going once. 35. 35. All right. 35, do I hear 40? 35, do I hear 40? $35, I heard 40, I believe. Did I not? I thought I did. $40, do I hear 45? $40, do I hear 45? $40, do I hear 45? $40, going once. $45, do I hear 50? $45, do I hear 50? $50, do I hear 55? Don't let her get that. Come on, let's got some male testosterone going here. 50, do I hear 55? 50, do I hear 55? $50 going once. $50 going twice. And so for $50.
It's not going to work well.
The cookie jar is working, but not as fast as we would like it to work. So we're just going to sell it anyway. It's a lovely cookie jar.
Fat cat.
It's a lovely cat. Yes.
Black and white.
Black cat with white.
It's
or
black
white,
and white
cat with black, whichever you want to, where you want to put it.
And it's really cool because on the tip of its tail, the tail is black, and on the very tip, it's like it has a white sock on the tip of its tail. It's really cute.
And it's holding a bowl that says treats.
Treats.
So you could have macadamia nut treats or oatmeal raisin treats or any kind of treats. So, let's start the bidding at $15, since it's not working to perfection, although it might end up working that way once you get it. We're broken in here.
Yep.
We have a $15 bid. Let's hear 20. 15, do I hear 20? 20, do I hear 25? 20, do I hear 25? 20, do I hear 25? $20. $25, do I hear 30? $25, do I hear 30? $25, do I hear 30? $25 going once. $25 going twice. It's still working little by little here. $25 going twice. And Sold for $25.
Now, when you fill it up with cookies, give me a call so I can come over and help you eat them.
Okay, and our final item, donated with much thanks to the Active in Inland Valley chapter, is some magic software. This has a value of a street value, shall we say. Back to the hemp. See, it's all coming back to that again. Of $800.
Tuesday.
We're going to start at $100.
What kind of software?
It's magic software. So for screen enlargement purposes. So if you're totally blind, it'll do. You'll get it so large on magic, even you can read it. Okay. Do I hear $100? Do I hear $100 for magic? $100. Do I hear $100? What?
It's worth over $5.
Yes, it's apparently worth $8. So somebody is getting a blatant steal at $100. But if we don't get $100, we can't sell it because. What? Oh, yeah, we do. That's right. We have one other item left. We're going to go and sell our last item and see if we can get anybody to look at this possible magic software and cast its spell around you. A Halloween spell with Harry Potter and, well,
whatever, yeah.
Hermione, perhaps. Okay, we have two sets of two Disneyland passes. We will do it like the wallets. We will have bids on a set, and then anyone can, the first person can match that bid for the other set. So you can get into the Disneyland and the California Adventure for this.
Yes.
And is there an expiration?
Now, do you want to do it? Great.
Is it a day pass or is it a year pass?
One of our students do it for here. For this.
It's a day pass.
And or one of the pubs.
Each ticket.
Why are we putting them together?
Hold on. We'll get you all the information you want to know and more.
You have to go up.
I'm not taking bids yet.
Would you put them together or do you have to do separate?
Yeah, we need the Jeopardy music, Brian. Can you get that out of there?
Come up with us the 308.
See, I forgot to show more support.
You have until June 28th of 2012 to use this pass.
One of the other ones.
So you should be able to get around to it. Okay, we're going to start this set of two passes at $50. We have a $50 bid. Do I hear 60? 50. Do I hear 60? I heard 60? Wait a minute. Did I hear a woman say 60 first? I thought I did. Sorry. 60. Do I hear 70? I heard 70. Do I hear 80? 80. Do I hear 90? 80. Do I hear 90? 80. Do I hear 90? 80 going once? 90. Do I hear 100? The gentleman straight in the back. I don't know who it is, but that's the one I heard first. Yeah, it sounded like Steve to me. Okay, 90. Do I hear 100? 90. Do I hear 100? 95. That was Peter, right? Okay, 95. Do I hear 100? 100. Do I hear 110? 100. Do I hear 110? 100. Do I hear 110? $100 going once. $100 going twice. Sold for $100. And if anybody wants to match that bid, if you're the first, you can have the other set.
Peter wants it.
Peter's got it. All right. And for that same $100, you just might get magic. So, we're back to magic.
Woo-hoo.
Do we have a bid of $100? Well, then we will have to let that go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to, I guess I'm going to complicate things. I was just told by the San Diego chapter president, Glenda Castle, she had a couple of things she wanted to contribute. We have the Blind Community Center Singers CD. It's a Christmas CD.
Yes.
And several CCB members are on that. For one, I'm one of the singers. That should be enough right there. Glenda and Castle and Doug Martin and Tom Trier are also on it. Indy Kaler. And this CD, even you can even hear some of the guide dogs' collars jingle on it. And there's even a little article written on it. And we also have one of our beaded jack-o'-lanterns for Halloween we'll throw into the fray. It's an orange jack-o'-lantern. It's got a green stem on. I think they have a green stem on him. And he's got black little beady eyes and a smile. And he lights up. You can plug him in.
Auction or what? What is this for?
So if any of you want to bid on either of those items.
Okay, so in the heat of the moment, we forgot to mention that the Giants paraphernalia, Linda, you lucky girl, was donated by Steve Mandelson. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, so we're going to bid on these items from the San Diego chapter. Are they a package, do I assume, or is it separately?
I think it might go better as a package.
A package, okay. Let's start the bidding.
Holiday package from Halloween to Christmas.
All right, a holiday package from the holiday capital of the world, San Diego Superchargers.
Yay!
I know how to do that thing. And they are such a sorry team that it doesn't help them any. Yeah, they could play the 49ers. They'd both lose. Okay, let's start with a bid of $30. Is anybody, let's have $30. $30 for the holiday package. Do we hear $30? I'm sorry? Five. We get a bid of $5. Do I hear $10? $5. Do I hear $10? $5. Do I hear $10? Somebody's going to steal it. We got a $30 bid. Do I hear $35? $30. Do I hear $35? $30. Do I hear $35? $30 going once. $35 from Linda. $35. Do I hear $40? $35. Do I hear $40? I heard 40. Yes, it's from Burl. That's right. $40 right here. $45. $40 right here. $45. Linda, you're ruining the Sacramento prestige. Don't let Santa Rosa take it from us. $40 right here. $45. $40. $45. Do I hear 50? $45. Do I hear 50? $45. Do I hear 50? 50 from Burl. 50. Do I hear 55? 50. Do I hear 55? 55. Do I hear 60? This is a real fight going on, folks. 55, do I hear 60? 55 going once. 55 going twice. Sold to Linda O'Neill for $55. Yay. We're coming to her holiday party.
We could. I may even, if someone wants to match it, we'll give you.
Hold on a minute. We have an information gap here. Oh, it was? Okay.
Luana, okay.
Congratulations to Susan Hyatt's sister.
Who sounds like my name?
Do we want to.
Where's the package?
Oh, it. Is up in, does anyone want to go, because Glenda threw it in, does anyone want to go up to 308 and we'll get them,
sure.
Take Glenda up to 308 and we'll get them real fast and get them right down.
After.
Yes,
right.
After.
Okay.
We'll make sure. We do have it, it's in our room, we aren't going to.
another sip.
Are you going to bid on it, Donna?
I'll sell enough. If you want to pay $55, bucks, I'll sell another set to you.
Okay. You going to do your $100 bid?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going back to the magic. I'm sorry, what? You have a $100 bid on magic. So, do we have 110? Do we have 110? $100 going once? $100 going twice? Okay, we've been asked to read the description. How can you read a description of magic? It's just magic. Yes, it is. Magic is pure, elemental, earthy.
Okay, your attention, please. Magic Screen Reading Magnification Software is an innovative, low-vision solution for computer users, combining state-of-the-art magnification features with screen reading speech option. Now, you can view information on your computer screen while hearing it through a built-in speech synthesizer. Use magnification and speech together or independently. They have customizable views with 45 magnification levels. Magic magnifies the contents of your computer screen up to 36 times. Powerful features give you a choice of many low glare, high contrast color combinations. Apply tinting, view the screen as shades of a single color, monochrome, invert brightness and colors, and switch colors. Apply enhancements individually or in combination to tailor the screen's appearance. Use full screen mode or see both magnified and unmagnified areas of your screen simultaneously with partial screen magnification modes, lens view, overlay view, split view, and dynamic lens view. They have tracking enhancements and speech features as well. More than 5 hours of built-in training included. Okay.
So I would like to use the dynamic lens view. We have a bit of $100.
We're trying to move on our campaign slogans.
I'm sorry, hold on. We will give you the version.
Oh, C? Revision C?
It's
Professional
with speech revision C? Version C or revision C? Yeah, I don't know what that means, but anyway, it's with speech. I think all magic has speech as part of it. Do they have one without? Okay. Well, this has both.
And the retail value of that right now as of today is $495.
$495 retail value. With that dynamic lens view, I too could become immortal. Okay, so we have a bit of $100. Do we have $110? $100, we have $110. $100, we have $110. $100 going once. Ooh, boy, did she get in a steal for this. $100 going twice. And sold for $100. Boy. Yay. Thank you, Donna Sanchez. You have... You have made a killing. I want to thank each and every one of you who has participated in this auction and who has made, I don't know that we have a total yet, but it's close to $1,000. Ed's doing something so we won't get a total. We'll announce a total to you in the morning. Don't forget, we start at 8:30. And I'm going to turn it back over to Lee to say goodnight to you all. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we go, since the subject has been somewhat on football tonight, I thought I would finish up with one joke. Okay. There was a football player just across down the road at UCSD. And he was really in danger of being kicked off the team because his grades were so low. So what the school decided to do was give the guy a test. And what he would have to do is answer these three questions. And they called him in the office and said, John, because your grades are so low, these are the three questions that you are going to have to pass. And we're going to give you even a day to take these questions home and look them up and come back and complete the test. So here are your questions. How many days a week begin with T? How many seconds are there in a year? And how many D's are in the are in Dixie? And so young man took the answers home and he worked diligently on it and then came back into the principal's office the next day. He said, well, John, are you ready for the test? He said, yes, I am ready. He said, okay, the first question is, how many days of the week begin T? He said, I had to think about this one for a while, but I think I got the right answer. He said, well, what is it? I said, four. Four? How did you come up with four? Well, there's Tuesday, Thursday, today, and tomorrow. And they said, well, that wasn't quite what we had in mind. I suppose we have to give it to you. So we'll give this one to you. So, anyway. see how you do with the second question. How many seconds are in a year? And he said, oh, I had to work a little harder on this one, but I think I got it, Principal. It's 12. 12? How did you get that? I said, well, there's January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd, April 2nd. And I said, well, that wasn't quite what we had in mind, but, you know, that's probably, we can't not argue with your logic, so we're going to give you that one. And he said, well, now here's the third question. How many D's are in Dixie? He said, God, coach, the principal, this was the hardest one you have given me. I took three notebooks to figure this out. I got it. I said, what is it? 162. I said, 162. Now, we gave you the other two, but you're going to have to really do some fast selling to get us on this one. What do you mean? I said, let me show you. Anyway, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say we have really enjoyed hosting you at this convention, and I know I'm going to speak for Jacqueline and Glinda and myself. This has really been a wonderful weekend, all the volunteers, all the programs. Thank you very much, and I guess we'll be doing this thing in the spring, and I better get out of there before they start getting out the eggs.
Yeah, no, really. Really.